ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Thank you very much, all of you, for taking the effort to come down here today. I know some of you have come from long distances, and also you've been working hard all week. So coming on a Saturday morning is austerity, but it's one worth making. And all of you who've tuned in online today, I know there's a lot of other subjects you can tune into online, but you've made a deliberate choice to tune in to listen to the Bhagavatam today. So this will be towards your eternal credit. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 7. This is called The Activities of King Bharata. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we receive multiple lessons so that we can take to advance in devotional service ourselves. And this first chapter is called The Activities of King Bharata. And we'll hear about his character. As most of you know, he's one of the sons of Rishabhadeva, who had 100 sons. We heard fairly recently about some of the instructions that the Navayogendras, Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhuda Pipalayana, Avirhotra, Drumala, Chamasa, and Karabhajana, gave to Maharaj Nimi. And they were 9 sons that became great sages. Out of the 100 sons, Bharat was also greatly notable. In fact, the whole area, which we now call India, which was a lot larger back then, was called Bharat, named after him. Such a great king. And he had other sons, some of them who took up ritualistic brahminical duties, and others, as I've named, the Yogendras became great sages. So, starting on text number 1, Shukadev Goswami continues to speak to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, Bharat Maharaj was a topmost devotee, following the orders of his father, who had already decided to install him on the throne. He began to rule the earth accordingly. When Bharata Maharaj ruled the entire globe, he followed the orders of his father and married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishwarup. Just as the false ego covers the subtle sense objects, Maharaj Bharata created 5 sons in the womb of Panchajani, his wife. These sons were named Sumati, Rashtrabhrita, Sudarshana, Avarna, and Dumraketu. Formerly, this planet was known as Anjanabha-varsha, but since Maharaj Bharata's reign, it has become known as Bharata-varsha. Purport: this planet was formerly known as Janabha because of the reign of King Nabi. After Bharata Maharaj ruled the planet, it became celebrated as Bharata-varsha. Maharaj Bharata was a very learned and experienced king on this earth. He perfectly ruled the citizens, being himself engaged in his own respective duties. Maharaj Bharata was as affectionate to the citizens as his father and grandfather had been. Keeping them engaged in their occupational duties, he ruled the earth. Purport: it is most important that the chief executive rule the citizens by keeping them fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. Some of the citizens were brahmanas, some were kshatriyas, and some were vaishyas and shudras. It is the duty of the government to see that the citizens act according to these material divisions for their spiritual advancement. No one should remain unemployed or unoccupied in any way. One must work as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra on the material path. And on the spiritual path, everyone should act as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Although formerly the government was a monarchy, all the kings were very affectionate toward the citizens, and they strictly kept them engaged in their respective duties. Therefore, society was very smoothly conducted. Text 5. With great faith, King Bharata performed various kinds of sacrifice. He performed the sacrifices known as Agnihotra, Darsha, Purnamasa, Chaturmasya, Pashu Yajna, wherein a horse is sacrificed, and Soma Yajna, wherein a kind of beverage is offered. Sometimes these sacrifices were performed completely, and sometimes partially. In any case, in all the sacrifices, the regulations of Chaturhotra were strictly followed. In this way, Bharata Maharaj worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport, animals like hogs and cows were offered in sacrifice to test the proper execution of the sacrifice. Otherwise, there was no purpose in killing the animals. Actually, the animal was offered in the sacrificial fire to get a rejuvenated life. Generally, an old animal was sacrificed in the fire, and it would come out again in a youthful body. Some of the rituals, however, did not require animal sacrifice. In the present age, animal sacrifices are forbidden. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ashvamedham gavalambham sannyasam palapaitrikam devarena sutopatim kalu pancha vivarjayat. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Such sacrifices are impossible in this age due to the scarcity of expert brahmanas or ritvija, who are able to take the responsibility. In the absence of these, the Sankirtan Yajna is recommended. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hu Sumeda Saha. After all, sacrifices are executed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jagnartha Karma. Such activities should be carried out for the Supreme Lord's pleasure. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Lord in his incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be worshipped with his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna, the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This process is accepted by intelligent men. Jagnai Sankirtana Prayera Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. The word Sumedasaha refers to intelligent men who possess very good brain substance. That's all of you. 6. After performing the preliminaries of various sacrifices, Maharaj Bharata offered the results in the name of religion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. In other words, he performed all the yajnas for the satisfaction of Lord Vasudev Krishna. Maharaj Bharata thought that since the demigods were different parts of Vasudev's body, he controls those who are explained in the Vedic mantras. By thinking in this way, Maharaj Bharata was freed from all material contamination, such as attachment, lust, and greed. When the priests were about to offer the sacrificial ingredients into the fire, Maharaj Bharata expertly understood how the offering made to different demigods was simply an offering to the different limbs of the Lord. For instance, Indra is the arm of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Surya, the sun, is his eye. Thus, Maharaj Bharata considered that the oblations offered to different demigods were actually offered unto the different limbs of Lord Vasudev. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says that as long as one does not develop the pure devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, one must carry out his prescribed duties. Since Bharata Maharaj was a great devotee, one may ask why he performed so many sacrifices that are actually meant for karmis. The fact is that he was simply following the orders of Vasudev. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Paritya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. You all agree? Whatever we do, we should constantly remember Vasudev. People are generally addicted to offering obeisances to various demigods, but Bharata Maharaj simply wanted to please Lord Vasudev. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajatapasam Sarvalokam Maheshwaram from Bhagavad Gita 5.29. A yajna may be carried out to satisfy a particular demigod, but when the yajna is offered to the yajna purusha, Narayan, the demigods are satisfied. The purpose of performing different yajnas is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. One may perform them in the name of different demigods or directly. If we directly offer oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods are automatically satisfied. If we water the root of a tree, the branches, twigs, fruits, and flowers are automatically satisfied. When one offers sacrifices to different demigods, one should remember that the demigods are simply parts of the body of the Supreme. If we worship the hand of a person, we intend to satisfy the person himself. If we massage a person's legs, we do not really serve the legs, but the person who possesses the legs. All the demigods are different parts of the Lord, and if we offer service to them, we actually serve the Lord himself. Demigod worship is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, but actually the shlokas advocate worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. For instance, worship of the goddess Durga is mentioned this way in Brahma Samhita 5.44. Together, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sarana Shaktireka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Vibharati Durga Itshanurupamapiyasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Following the orders of Sri Krishna, the goddess Durga creates, maintains, and annihilates. Sri Krishna also confirms this statement in Bhagavad Gita. Mayadyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. We should worship the demigods in that spirit. Because the goddess Durga satisfies Krishna, we should therefore offer respects to goddess Durga. Because Lord Shiva is nothing but Krishna's functional body, we should therefore offer respects to Lord Shiva. Similarly, we should offer respects to Brahma, Agni, and Surya. To whom? There are many offerings to different demigods, and one should always remember that these offerings are usually meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bharat Maharaj did not aspire to receive some benediction from demigods. His aim was to please the Supreme Lord. In the Mahabharata, among the thousand names of Vishnu, it is said, Yajna Bhug, Yajna Krit, Yajnaha, Yajna Bhug, Yajna Krit, Yajnaha. The enjoyer of Yajna, the performer of Yajna, and Yajna itself are the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the performer of everything. But out of ignorance, the living entity thinks that he is the actor. As long as we think we are the actors, we bring about karma bandha, bondage to fruit of activity, bondage to activity. If we act for yajna, for Krishna, there's no karma bandha. Yajnartha kamano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita? 3.9. If I were to ask you what Bhagavad Gita 9.10 is, you'd say the verse is? And if I said 18.66, you'd say? And if I said Brahma Samhita 5.44, you'd say? Siti pralaya sarana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanani viparti durga ichchanurupam api yasya chacheshtatesa govindamari purusham dhamaham bhajami. Following the instructions of Bharat Maharaj, we should act not for our personal satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a takeaway. Take-home sentence. I'll read it again. Following the instructions of Bharat Maharaj, we should act not for our personal satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the key to happiness in life. If one attempts to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one will naturally become satisfied. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Can you back it up with any other scriptural statements? Yes, Govinda Prabhu? Then keep in mind that if you don't use the microphone, whatever you say doesn't count.
From Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamadibihi
Yoga. Which verse? Okay, we'll just say the first line so we can look it up, so we can have a look at it.
Yamadibihi Yoga Pathaihi Kama Lobha Hato Buhuhu Mukunda Sevaya Yadvat Tatha Adha Atmana Shamiti. So the second line is
number?
Relevant.
Okay. So go ahead, explain it.
So it starts with, it says that through following yoga, Yamadiviya, by following the regulations and the yoga, you can control your lust and greed.
It's not in that book.
But the level to which, by serving Lord Mukunda, you become happy, that cannot be achieved through the path of yoga.
Okay.
So the second line I felt is
90% credit, but you get 100% if you go find the book and look it up. Another one? Yes. We're hearing evidence that this will compel us to work to satisfy Lord Vishnu rather than ourselves. This is very valuable information to have. And if we have this evidence firmly in mind, then we may use our intelligence to direct our mind to work in such a way. Go ahead.
I think this kind of says that we're not obligated. Krishna is satisfied. This verse I thought, 11:5:41. Devarshi bhutabdhaninam pitrinam nakin karonayam nivicharajan sarvatmana ya sasharanam charanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam.
Means?
It's just a verse is there, like whoever satisfies Vishnu, he doesn't have to satisfy the devas and the rishis and all the previous pitris. So that all the obligations are satisfied by satisfying Vishnu.
Yes, we're a debtor to all these different entities, but if you fully surrender to Mukunda, then they're naturally satisfied. That's a good verse. Another one? You found it? Okay, what verse number? 1635. This is the instructions of Narada Muni. 1635. Yamadibir yogapatahi kama loba hato muhuhu mukunda sevaya yadvat tatat madha nasham yati. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust, but this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul, for this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Very good. Yes. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Harivansha. Zero credit so far.
Hare Krishna, I was remembering two verses. One was Dharma Svanushtita Pumsa Vishvaksena Kathasuya Notpadyet Yadiratim Shramevahi Kevalam. If it is not for the pleasure of the Lord, it is waste. And then there was this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Verse number that you just quoted, please.
1, 2.
Give it to him. 1, 2, 6. Ramananda. 1, 2, 8. It's good to have a look at these. Altogether, Dharma Swanustita Pumsam Vishaksena Katasuyaha Notpariyad Yadiratim Shrameva Hikevalam. Translation is, The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of this personality of Godhead. Yet another one?
Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta Krishna bhakta nishkama atayva shanta.
Ramananda? Yeah, it's in the book. Give him the verse. Madhya Leela 19:149. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Taiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakaliya Shanta. Where's our Bengalis? Online? And Bengalis, please call in at this time and recite the verse. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. All right, give him the mic. Go back. All right, go ahead. Give us the verse.
Krishna bhakta nishkama atayva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta.
Translation, because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruit workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence, therefore they are all lusting and cannot be peaceful. So there are many more verses. One can do a study of this. In fact, you can get a notebook and fill it up with verses that say specifically this. And if one acts on this principle, even minutely, one will find that one's life becomes productive and happy. So, we have here a continuation of Srila Prabhupada's purport, starting with the words, in Bhagavad Gita 17.28, which verse? 17.28. It is stated, Ashraya hutam dattam tapas taptam kritam chayat asad ityuchite partha na chatat pretya yo no iha. Sacrifices, austerities, and charities performed without faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-permanent. Regardless of whatever rules, whatever rituals are performed, they are called asat, non-permanent. They are useless, therefore useless, both in this life and the next. Kings like Maharaj Ambarish and many other Rajarshis, who were pure devotees of the Lord, simply pass their time in the service of the Supreme Lord. When a pure devotee executes some service through the agency of another person, he should not be criticized, for his activities are meant for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. A devotee may have a priest perform some karmakanda, and the priest may not be a pure Vaishnav, but because the devotee wants to please the Supreme Lord, he should not be criticized. The word apurva is very significant. The resultant actions of karma are called apurva. What are they called?
Apurva.
When we act piously or impiously, immediate results do not ensue. We therefore wait for the results, which are called apurva. The results are manifest in the future. Even the smartas accept this apurva. Pure devotees simply act for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the results of their activities are spiritual or permanent. They are not like those of the karmis, which are non-permanent. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.23. Gatasangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasa Yajnaya charata karma samagram pravaliyate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental merges entirely into transcendence. A devotee is always free from material contamination. He is fully situated in knowledge, and therefore his sacrifices are intended for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're hearing the activities of King Bharat, and we're continuing with text number 7. In this way, being purified by ritualistic sacrifices, the heart of Maharaj Bharat was completely uncontaminated. His devotional service unto Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, increased day after day. Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the original personality of Godhead, manifest as the Supersoul, Paramatma, as well as the impersonal Brahman. Yogis meditate upon the localized Paramatma situated in the heart. Gyanis worship the impersonal Brahman as the Supreme Absolute Truth, and devotees worship Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental body is described in the Shastras. His body is decorated with the Srivatsa, the Kaustubha jewel, and a flower garland. In his hands hold a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. Devotees like Narada always think of him within their hearts. Purport. Lord Vasudeva or Sri Krishna is the son of Vasudeva. Lord Vasudeva or Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is manifest within the hearts of yogis in his Paramatma feature, and he is worshipped as impersonal Brahman by jnanis. The Paramatma feature is described in the Shastras as having four hands, holding disc, conch shell, lotus flower, and club, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.8, Kechitswa dehantar hridhayava kashe pradesha matram purusham vasantam chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka gadadharam dharanaya smaranti. Paramatma is situated in the hearts of all living beings. He has four hands which hold four symbolic weapons. All devotees who think of the Paramatma within the heart worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the temple deity. They also understand the impersonal features of the Lord and his bodily rays, the Brahman effulgence. 8. Destiny fixed the time for Maharaj Bharata's enjoyment of material opulence at 1,000 times 10,000 years. When that period was finished, he retired from family life and divided the wealth he had received from his forefathers among his sons. He left his paternal home, the reservoir of all opulence, and started for Pulaha Ashrama, which is situated in Hardwar. The Shalagram Shilas are obtainable there. Purport. According to the law of Daya Bhak, when one inherits an estate, he must hand it over to the next generation. Bharat Maharaj did this properly. First, he enjoyed his paternal property for 1,000 times 10,000 years. At the time of his retirement, he divided this property among his sons and left for Pulaha Ashrama. At Pulaha Ashrama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, out of his transcendental affection for his devotee, becomes visible to his devotees, satisfying his devotees' desires. Purport. The Lord always exists in different transcendental forms as stated in Brahma Samhita 5. Okay. And it is as follows. Ramari muti shikalani amena tishtan nana vatara makaro bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramapumanyo govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The Lord is situated in himself, Lord Krishna. The Lord is situated as himself, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is accompanied by his expansions like Lord Rama, Baladeva, Sankarshan, Narayan, Mahavishnu, and so forth. The devotees worship all these forms according to their liking, and the Lord, out of his affection, presents himself as Archa Vigraha. He sometimes presents himself personally before the devotee out of reciprocation or affection. A devotee is always fully surrendered to the loving service of the Lord, and the Lord is visible to the devotee according to the devotee's desires. He may be present in the form of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, Lord Nrsingadev, and so on. Such is the exchange of love between the Lord and his devotees. Text 10. In Pulaha Ashram is the Gandaki River. Which river? Which is the best of all rivers. The Shalagram Shila, the marble pebbles, purify all those places. On each and every marble pebble, up and down, circles like navels are visible. Purport. Shalagram Shila refers to pebbles that appear like stones with circles marked up and down. These are available in the river known as Gandaki Nadi. Wherever the waters of this river flow, the place becomes immediately sanctified. That river is actually an incarnation of Tulsi Devi. 11. In the gardens of Pulaha Ashrama, Maharaj Bharata lived alone and collected a variety of flowers, twigs, and tulsi leaves. What did he collect?
Flowers, twigs, and tulsi leaves.
Yeah, this is a very blissful life. When in the service of Krishna, devotees who keep the image of Krishna, either as a picture or they may have a carved image of the Lord, go out every day to do their worship, and they collect simple things. There are flowers. You can grow flowers, and then you can also grow tulsi. And going out in your yard at 7 a.m. in the morning when everyone else is driving to work and picking flowers and putting them in a big container, people drive by and they think, what's that person doing out there collecting flowers? Why aren't I collecting flowers? Often people don't even grow flowers because they're inconvenient to maintain. They simply put in shrubs that don't have any flowers, that the gardeners who get paid exorbitant amounts of money to come with their clippers and go ring, 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 with absolutely no devotion whatsoever. And then people don't even get to look at the plants and appreciate the fact that they're manifesting all these different varieties of scented items to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is bhakti. Bhakti means to bring things to the Lord, and Krishna says it in such a simple and enticing way in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhaktyu paritam ashnami parityatmanaha. Krishna wants to taste these things offered with love and devotion from his devotees, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. So part of the devotional process, the process of Panchatrik Vidhi, worshipping the archa form of the Lord, means to go out and collect the nicest things. And you'll find that devotees who are eager to worship the form of the Lord are always looking around the world to find the nicest items to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, I had a lengthy conversation with His Holiness Indradyumna Swami when he came over to our house recently about different types of oils that one can purchased from places around the world. We concluded that the king of all oil vendors is Gulab Singh in Chandi Chowk. And Maharaj told me that he has a tiny vial of oil that costs almost $5,000 that he takes out and offers a little bit on special occasions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And recently one of the brahmacharis in the Denver ashram, now there's 16 brahmacharis there in that ashram. That's a lot. Has taken to creating various rare combinations of oils. One of them is called Chatushama, and the recipe is given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when he saw that, he thought, yes, let me make this for Krishna. And he's making little bottles of Chatushama. I just bought 10 of them from him. And Madhavendra Puri was thinking the same way when he went to the Gopinath deity, and he saw the pujari offering some sweet rice and telling him that this is the king of all sweet rice. He thought, well, what's the recipe? Can I have the recipe? At least I could taste some, and then I could figure out how to make this. I'll reverse engineer it. And then, of course, we know that he felt a little reticent because he thought, oh, I've offended the deity thinking about tasting the sweet rice. But this is the preoccupation of the devotees. They're always thinking how to get the nicest flowers. My friend Banabhata Prabhu was the greatest flower thief I ever met. Driving around Los Angeles where people keep gardens and they covet their gardens and they don't let anybody in, we'd drive by and I'd see, he's not watching the road, he's watching the flowers go by. And then he'd come back later, ding, 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 and take back an offer to his Shalagram Shilas. So this is the beauty of bhakti. Collecting these various items and living in an environment in which you can collect them or creating an environment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, speaks about growing a garden. He goes into detail of all the different flowers that he'll cultivate. And in the position of the empress of his garden, he puts Srimati Tulsi Devi. And every day he goes out with great love in his heart and he collects these different flowers. And you can plant in your garden flowers that will bloom at all times of the year. For instance, the daphne blooms in the wintertime and it's so fragrant that people are walking down your street, they'll stop, they'll become stunned, and they'll think, where's that smell coming from? They'll forget all their problems just for a minute because of the smell of that flower. And then they'll think, where does it come from? This is how nicely Krishna's arranged material nature so that we have things to offer to him, dravya. And then in the summertime when it's nice and hot, here in California you can offer gardenias because they like the hot weather. They like popcorn. When it gets really, really hot, the flowers, they start to pop out. And there are many varieties of gardenias. You can find the best ones. In fact, you know, for years, I was really disturbed by the fact that camellias, which are a very beautiful flower, don't have any scent. Everywhere I go around my neighborhood, or anywhere for that matter in America, and see camellias. Do you all know what camellias look like? They have a nice, beautiful leaf, a waxy green leaf, and then the flowers look almost like lotuses. They're multifaceted. Some are pink, some are white and pink. But then when you pick the flower, absolutely 100% no smell. Zero. And this angered me. I thought, this is ridiculous. How could there be such a thing? Such a beautiful flower with no scent whatsoever. So we'd offer for decoration to the... Can you find where I was? Offered for in decoration to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but no smell. But then I found something through an expert. In Japan, they have camellias that have a scent. So I ordered those plants from Japan, and I planted them in my yard, and now I'm happy again. I became happy, because now there's a camellia, and it comes out, and it has actually a scent, and you can offer it. And you know what? I actually felt happy that I went to that trouble and I grew it. I learned these things from God brothers who have real devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. I visited their homes. One of my dear friends and God brothers lived in Thailand. And every time I'd go to India, I'd stop there and visit his home. And he had all these plants around his house that he'd bring in to offer to the various flowers and fruits to the deities during the different seasons. And even the plants... I come back the next year, a plant was missing. I said, where is it? And he goes, wasn't doing any seva. Had to take him out. By being around devotees that actually have that kind of bhakti, it's infectious. You can feel it for yourself. Offer nice scents. You can grind your own sandalwood. Your sandalwood, you got to go to Lohi Bazaar. You get yourself... a nice, big, porous stone, and it has legs on the bottom. And then you have to search around so you don't get cheated and buy a nice, big stick of sandalwood. Because a lot of them, sandalwood, they cook it down to get the oils out of it. So you want to make sure you get from a reputable person who doesn't cook it down and then sell you the wood with no oil inside. And it's hard to get sandalwood. Even at the time of Manavendra Puri, when he brought his sandalwood back for the Lord, he had to get permits to do it, to bring it out. It's a rare thing. So these are nice, to offer rare things to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should use your time and intelligence and resources, whatever cash you have stashed under your mattress, to buy these beautiful and rarest items that you can offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you actually will feel satisfied when you give them to the Lord. So sandalwood, you get that. You can get camphor. Don't buy artificial camphor. It's poisonous, actually. You can buy real edible camphor. Camphor comes from trees. So you can buy that edible camphor, and then you get a little rose water. Get the real thing, nice rose water, and then purified water, and you mix them together, and a little saffron is nice, too. Not too much. And saffron, a little camphor, the sandalwood, that you get from this big sandalwood stick and rose water, yes. He put it on the stone, and then you have to lean into it. This, you can develop great strength by doing this. When people go to the gym, they pay all this money to work out and everything like that. But you can see, that if you lean into this sandalwood paste making activity, and then this pulp comes off, you scrape it off, and then you can put it in a container and offer this fresh pulp of sandalwood to the Lord in the hot season. Actually, in some temples, they cover the Lord with this sandalwood. You look at him and you go, I don't recognize you right now. What happened? And it's like the pujari will tell you, no, it's hot. We covered him with sandalwood pulp. But if you offer a little sandalwood pulp to your deities, you put on either the picture, you can offer to the lotus feet, you put a little of that, and then you take a tulsi leaf and put right on it. It'll fix itself. It'll adhere because you put that there. And then what's left over, you can put on your forehead, a little prasad on your forehead, and then go to your office at work. And people look, what happened to you? No, it's sandalwood pulp. And then you explain, what's sandalwood pulp? What are you doing sandalwood pulp? I offer to Krishna's lotus feet. And you can tell people like about that. Priya Kishori?
So talking of rare substances, we all had an opportunity to watch Indradyumna Maharaj do his puja. And I saw him make that paste. And along with that, one of the rare substances that he added was, it comes from the navel of a cow. And it comes from the navel of a specific female cow. And it's a pink substance. I'm not remembering the name. It starts with an R. And he said a small piece of that could cost around $1,000.
Okay, beg, borrow, steal, but we got to get some of that now. And this is also preoccupation of those devotees who are connoisseurs of worshiping Krishna. They go around and they observe the various pujas. You find out who's doing puja and you say, can I come watch? This is something nice. When you go to Vrindavan, you'll find a lot of devotees are worshiping the deities. Just search them out and go ask them. I've seen so many people, and every time I go in and I watch, I saw Sri Prahlad once. He was worshiping his deities in Vrindavan. I was like, can I come and watch? So I came and I saw he had this system, very interesting system for bathing the deity. So he had this water pitcher. And on the end of it, he had fixed a tiny little conch shell. So when he pours from the water pitcher, then it comes through the conch shell. I thought, that's a nice innovation. Devotees come up with all these little innovations, and you can pick them up, and you can watch in different ways. And also, if you have some expert come and watch you, when was one of the twins came here not too long ago? Pankajangri, I think, came. And he stayed at our house. And then I said, so you watch my puja and you tell him if I'm doing anything wrong. So somebody who's doing puja all the time, they sit and watch. And then this way you can, they can find, I'd move that over there, or I just do this or that. And then this preoccupation with worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, you can also worship the Lord just by going on Sankirtan. Any service is like this. There's no plateau. If you're a cook, if you're a cleaner, especially cleaners have to be meticulous. You go around and you look for everything, high and low. And then you have to anticipate also that, I know there's this pipe going through here, and that I would lose sleep at night thinking, is there any dust on the top of that pipe? Because you shouldn't think, I can't see it, so it doesn't matter. It matters. This is deity worship. This is Brahminical culture. It matters. It matters if there's dust on top of that thing there. You should find out if it is. If you're fortunate enough to have been given the service of cleaning the temple, you should lose sleep. You should be going to sleep at night and jump and wake up suddenly and think, maybe in that basket back there, somebody forgot to move the basket out and clean behind there. And wash that area. And then you'll think, I'm going to go there next day and I'm going to move that basket out and I'm going to clean behind there to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this way, through the process of bhakti, one can remain absorbed 24 hours a day. So this is the verse number... 11. In the gardens of the Pulaha Ashrama, Maharaj Bharata lived alone and collected a variety of flowers, twigs, and tulsi leaves. He also collected the water of the Gandaki River, as well as various roots, fruits, and bulbs. With these, he offered food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and worshipping him, he remained satisfied. In this way, his heart was completely uncontaminated, And he did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, he felt full satisfaction and was situated in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Everyone is searching after peace of mind. This is obtainable only when one is completely freed from the desire for material sense gratification and is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. This is these two sentences you can take with you on book distribution and just recite them and tell people and just say, everyone is searching for peace of mind. This is obtainable. Okay, try it. This is obtainable only when one is completely freed from the desire for material sense gratification and is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. That'll work. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Priyachati, worship of the Supreme Lord is not at all expensive. Verse number was? 9.26. Worship of the Lord is not at all expensive. One can offer the Lord a leaf, unless you're with Indradumna Maharaj. We're trying to keep up with him. The Supreme Lord accepts these offerings when they are offered with love and devotion. In this way, one can become freed from material desires. As long as one maintains material desires, he cannot become happy. He cannot be happy. As soon as one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, his mind is purified of all material desires. Then one becomes fully satisfied. Together, Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhakti Datok Sajay Ahai Tukiya Pratiyata Yayatma Supraseedati Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yashivairagnyam Jnanam Chayadahai Tukam. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, to whom?
Sri Krishna.
One immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. That's from Bhagavatam 1.2.6-7. These are the instructions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, the supreme Vedic literature. One may not be able to go to Palaha Ashram, but wherever one is, one can happily render devotional service to the Lord by adopting the processes mentioned above. Oh, good. Haribo. And then text 12. That most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bharata, in this way engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudeva Krishna increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulative duties. The hairs of his body stood on end, and all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes, so much so that he could not see anything. Thus he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. At that time his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulative service to the Lord. Purport. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love for Krishna, 8 transcendental blissful symptoms are manifest in the body. Those are the symptoms of perfection arising from loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Give me a verse from Shikshashtakam which describes those symptoms. Go ahead, since you took the lead, to use the microphone, because he's saying it so nicely.
Okay, got it. Nayanam Galadashudharaya Vadanam Gadgadrudhayagira Pulakair Vichitam Vapukada Tavanam Grihane Bhavishyati.
General meaning?
When will my eyes be full of tears of love And when will my throat choke up just by chanting the names of the Lord?
Very nice. And where's another verse from a song that we often sing in this class? Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobai. Krishna bolbe jabe pulaka habe jorbe anki bolitai. So it's a similar thing. If you go on chanting Hare Krishna, then tears will come to your eyes, hair will stand on end, you'll feel ecstatic symptoms in your body. Gudgada. This is the onomatopoeic expression that gudgada means the voice is stuttering, can barely speak. Gudgada. Purport? Where was I? Maharaj Bharat appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing three times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose. Purport, the predominating deity within the sun is Hiranmaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra, Om Pur Bhuvak Sva Tat Savitur Vringdam Bhargadivasya Dhimahi. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda. For instance, Deyasada Savriti Mandalamadyavarti Narayana Sahasija Sanasanvishtaha Kayuravan Makalakundalavan Kiriti Hari Hiranmaya Vapur Jutashanka Chakra. Within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated and he has a golden hue. 14. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benediction upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the Supersoul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. That's a verse that Bharat Maharaj personally recited every day. So anyone can follow in his footsteps if they wish. Nobody can stop you. Purport. The predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayan, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as the Supersoul, and he gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Sijaham Ridisan Nivishta. I'm sitting in everyone's heart. Bhagavad Gita. As the Supersoul, the Lord enters the hearts of all living entities. As stated in Brahma Samhita 535, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. He enters the universe and the atom as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity of the sun is worshipped by this mantra, Dhyasada Savriti Mandalama Devarti Narayana Sasi Jasana Sanavishtaha Sanavishtaha. Narayan sits on his lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. What do you think? Good idea?
Yes.
Perfect idea. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan within the sun is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or the Rig Mantra. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda purports of the 5th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Activities of King Bharata. So far, we've chanted one chapter of the Bhagavatam, one chapter of the Gita, and we've read the purports and verses for one entire chapter of the Bhagavatam. How do you feel now? Satisfied and better, and a million times better. This is the only way to become happy. Now we're moving on to the next chapter because we're coming to some of the great lessons taught by this. I mean, not that we haven't learned some already, but it gets thicker. Text number 1. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, one day, Now everyone pays attention. It's a story, kids. Everyone listen up. After finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating, and bathing, Maharaj Bharat sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes and began chanting his mantra, beginning with Omkar. O King, while Bharat Maharaj was sitting on the bank of that river, a doe, being very thirsty, came there to drink. While the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, a lion, which was very close, roared very loudly. This was frightful to every living entity, and it was heard by the doe. By nature, the doe was always afraid of being killed by others, and it was always looking about suspiciously. When it heard the lion's tumultuous roar, it became very agitated. Looking here and there with disturbed eyes, the doe, although it had not fully satisfied itself by drinking water, suddenly leaped across the river. The doe was pregnant, and when it jumped out of fear, the baby deer fell from its womb into the flowing river, waters of the river. Purport, there is every chance of a woman's having a miscarriage if she experiences some ecstatic emotion or is frightened. Pregnant women should therefore be spared all these external influences. 6. Being separated from its flock and distressed by its miscarriage, the black doe, having crossed the river, was very much distressed. Indeed, it fell down in a cave and died immediately. The great King Bharata, while sitting on the bank of the river, saw the small deer, bereft of its mother, floating down the river. Seeing this, he felt great compassion. Like a sincere friend, he lifted the infant deer from the waves and, knowing it to be motherless, brought it to his ashrama. Purport. The laws of nature work in subtle ways, unknown to us. Maharaj Bharat was a great king, very advanced in devotional service. He had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord, but even from that platform he could fall down onto the material platform. In Bhagavad Gita we are therefore warned, Yam hina vyantayantye te purusham purusharshabha samatukha sukham tiram somritatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Verse number? And if I said 2.15, which verse would you say from the Gita? Here, I'm giving you a lower key. Start over. Yam hina vyantayante te purusham purusharshapa samatukha sukham tiram samritatvaya kalpate. Such an important verse. It's so simple, but it's a clear indication of one's spiritual advancement. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Srila Prabhupada continues, spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. Poetical and so powerful, I'm going to say it again and maybe again. Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. You want to hear it one more time? I know you do. Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. Great caution. Little discrepancy. By following the activities of Maharaj Bharat, we can learn the art of becoming completely freed from all material attachments. As it will be revealed in later verses, Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer due to being overly compassionate for this infant deer. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, at any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled, and we may fall down onto the material platform. Maharaj Bharat's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world. So interesting that it's compassion. I mean, this is actually an emotion in the mode of goodness. But he was coming from a transcendental position and he fell down into the mode of goodness. And it was very subtle, as it just started with a slight distraction from his meditation. And as we'll hear, it grew and grew. Almost without him knowing that it was happening. That's why Prabhupada urges great caution. Great caution. 8. Gradually Maharaj Bharat became very affectionate toward the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and other animals. When it itched, he petted it. And in this way, he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement. Purport: from this, we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties. By observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangalartik, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.5, which one? Yajnadana tapak karma natyajam karyam eva tat yajnodanam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great soul. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the regulative principles. He should worship the deity and give his time and life to the service of Krishna. He should also continue following the rules and regulations of austerity and penance. These things cannot be given up. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because one has accepted the sannyas order. The activities of Bharat Maharaj should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. Queen Kunti says that if you become enamored of any of your assets, the material assets that you've gotten by your previous activities, then your ability to worship the Lord sincerely will be curtailed. And there's every case to be made for considering oneself to be a beginner. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to see his spiritual master after being initiated by him, says that, I'm murka, I'm a fool before my spiritual master. I don't consider that I know anything. I'm simply a beginner, an open book, ready to be read and instructed in various ways. And if I consider myself to be liberated, now I'm liberated because I am what? I'm liberated because dot, dot, dot. Because I'm initiated. I'm liberated because I know the Bhagavad Gita. I'm liberated because I took the Bhakti Shastri. That's definitely a sign that you're completely liberated. I'm liberated because Bhakti Vaibhav. I'm liberated because I'm a member of ISKCON. I'm liberated because my parents knew the Bhagavad Gita. There are many ways in which I may claim that I'm liberated. But if I take any of these, then I will be victimized by the material nature. An advanced devotee never says, I'm an advanced devotee. An advanced devotee never thinks I'm an advanced devotee. An advanced devotee never thinks I'm liberated. Because when one thinks, well, I'm liberated, now I may take some liberties on the various principles. And that begins a great downward slide. So it's actually relishable to stay in the position of a beginner and consider oneself non-liberated and start over every day. Consider that I don't know anything, as when the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, we're the most fallen. We should actually have the first claim in getting your mercy, because you're the savior of the most fallen, that's us. And also, they claim that we don't know anything, even though they're great scholars. We don't know anything. Please instruct us. Who am I? They started there. So this kind of mentality is actually the advanced mentality, and it is the only way in which one can fortify oneself from falling back down into material nature, becoming victimized. Prahlad Maharaj, when speaking to Lord Nrisimhadev, says, I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid of your Vishnu Maya, because I've seen how it works. And you can be easily messing around with material nature. One little indiscretion, your sleeve gets caught in the machine, and next thing your whole arm goes in, and then your body, torso, and then you get ground up again in this wheel of material nature, which is relentless and inexorable. So this is a great lesson that Sanatan Goswami says in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita was deliberately taught to us by Bharat Maharaj to show that you have to be careful, even from a liberated position, not to become distracted. The great King Maharaj Bharat began to think, alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time, an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now lost its relatives and friends and has taken shelter of me. It does not know anybody but me, and I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious and think that for the deer, my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, gratify, and fondle it. When it has taken shelter with me, how can I neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who has taken shelter cannot be neglected. This would be a great fault. Purport. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic toward all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of the suffering of the people in general. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's downfall. If one is actually sympathetic to fallen, suffering humanity, he should try to elevate people from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer was concerned, Bharat Maharaj became very sympathetic, but he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness, because after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharat Maharaj to sacrifice all his regulative principles simply to take care of an animal. The principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hina vyatyante te purusham purusharshaba. And if you quoted that verse and you wanted to say where it was from, what's the verse number? 2.15? 2.15? And if I said, what's 2.15, what would you say? Purusham purusharshaba samadhuka sukham dhiram samritatvaya kalpate samritatvaya kalpate samritatvaya kalpate. It's good to say the last line a few times, because we only get to chant the first line sometimes. You can make up for it. The principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hina vyatyante te purusham purusharshaba. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness. Yeah, it's like when you catch a cold, it lasts for about 9 days. It's 3 days to get it, 3 days to have it, 3 days to get rid of it. And if people give you medicine, and if you tell them you're sick, they will give you medicine. And if you do that, you'll get rid of it in 9 days also. if you take all the medicine. However, by the grace of Krishna, when we raise a person to spiritual consciousness, if we ourselves follow the rules and regulations, if we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with the bodily comforts of others, we will fall into a dangerous position. 10. Even though one is in the renounced order, one who has advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important, to protect one who has surrendered. Purport, Maya is very strong. What is Maya?
Very strong.
In the name of philanthropy, altruism, and communism, people are feeling compassion for suffering humanity throughout the world. Philanthropists and altruists do not realize that it is impossible to improve people's material conditions. Material conditions are already established by the superior administration according to one's karma. They cannot be changed. The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is to try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. Material comforts cannot be increased or decreased. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.18, Talabhyate dukkavaranyata sukham. As far as material happiness is concerned, that comes without effort, just as tribulations come without effort. Material happiness and pain can be attained without endeavor. One should not bother for material activities. If one is at all sympathetic or able to do good to others, he should endeavor to raise people to Krishna consciousness. In this way, everyone advances spiritually by the grace of the Lord. For our instruction, Bharat Maharaj acted in such a way. We should be very careful not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. One should not give up his interest in attaining the favor of Lord Vishnu at any cost. Generally, people do not know this, or they forget it. Consequently, they sacrifice their original interest, the attainment of Vishnu's favor, and engage in philanthropic activities for bodily comfort. This is important information, and this is focused and staunch devotional service when one has clearly in mind that the principle of life that is most important, or that is exclusively important, is to dedicate one's energies towards satisfying the Supreme Personality of God. It is the great lesson of the Bhagavad Gita, imparted to Arjuna in front of all of us and recorded so that we can read it again and again. And it's being enacted here for our benefit by Bharat Maharaj. Now we'll take a few reflections. Those things that you've heard so far that stuck in your mind, Manjula Kanta.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the one with the mic.
Tie goes to the runner.
Maharaj, I liked how you were talking about the cleaning of the temple and how important it is that those who do the cleaning must remember to get every corner. And I was laughing pretty vigorously because today morning I was thinking, I need to get that duster because that corner, I didn't get to that corner. And I thought, okay, so at least somewhere, focus. I always think that in between raising children and living this material life and balancing my Krishna consciousness, I don't see any point where I am steadily focused on something. And it was really, it gave me a lot of heart to realize that just cleaning might be somewhere where I am focusing on the Lord. Or, you know,
yeah,
there's some service that I am actually, like you said, meditating on.
Yes.
Yeah. Stay focused.
Thank you.
I liked your comment on Bharat Maharaj. You had told us 1,000 into 10,000 years. That is a lifetime he had, you know.
And still he was young when he renounced.
Yeah.
He was young when he renounced his throne, but people lived a lot longer back then.
I was thinking that, you know, give me 20 years of material life and I'm not able to let go. You know, I'd look back and see if my kid's okay, the house is okay, did we pay the mortgage, did we cover this, should I leave? And this is a person who had so many years in the best of circumstance. And how much more difficult would be for him to let go? When we, with all our suffering, still don't want to let go.
Yeah.
It would be a real challenge. It was really nice to realize that. You talked about compassion as applicable to raising the deer. And that verse really reminds me, especially the one that we've left there. Due to attachment for the deer, he lay down with it, walked with it, bathed it, even ate with it. And it reminds me as a mother in Krishna consciousness. That's what I do with my children. I live every moment with them. And it's very easy for us to say, my sadhana can wait. You know, that child has to be fed. Or, you know, I need to drive this person down there. The class is starting, you know. The Gayatri can wait. I gotta go. And it was so... It was the button that reminds me again today that your sadhana should not be compromised when it comes to your duties. If you can detach yourself and recognize these as seva, not as seva but as dharma, your duties, then you'll remember your seva is your sadhana and you will not compromise one for the other. It was very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. And at the same time, we also have to lavish affection. Children... and other family members need affection to survive. Children have to have, that's why they're helpless and they have to have that. So there have been times, and the art of balancing the two is something to develop. In the history of our, the very short history of our ISKCON movement, there have been times at which parents have, for the sake of sadhana, sacrificed giving affection to their children or neglected them in different ways. And that is also not the formula for success. There's a way in which to do the two things together, and when they're integrated, the children also see your example.
I liked how it reminded us not to let go of sadhana, using this as an excuse.
Yes.
To value this more than that.
Yeah, and also knowing that, you know, it's seva in raising children, because I'm seeing now these children that are raised in Krishna consciousness, one child that comes out of the system after 16 years or so, 18 years, having been nurtured in Krishna consciousness, both by having a Krishna conscious environment, but that's also filled with the natural love and affection and protection that's needed for children, can become one person like that, one child who comes to maturity, can affect the whole world through his or her example, writings, ability to perform service purely, so forth. So both sides, you're doing great sadhana. You get an opportunity to be fully absorbed 24 hours a day. I liked what you said about cleaning. It's something to go back to. Cleaning services, cleaning the temple, cleaning the Lord's paraphernalia. It's a very absorbing service, and it is something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed himself by example, something that Prabhupada was constantly aware of. He talked about revolutionary clean, and somebody can take this as their heart and soul and learn to develop that kind of cleanliness. It takes a lot of work. But in that, working towards that standard of cleanliness, one is maintained at a higher level of consciousness. One maintains one's higher level of consciousness. And when one's doing it for Krishna, then one cleanses one's heart simultaneously. So it's a good idea to be meticulous as far as cleanliness goes. It's not spontaneous devotion to let things go. That's not spontaneous devotion. It's actually abominable. Yes.
First of all, thank you for reading, Prabhu, because you were saying the other day that you were not giving class until you leave. So it felt like a desert. And yesterday when I saw the email, it was like another 2 hours of nectar. And this reading of these verses felt so good that I really felt like it's a turning point, because we have so many material desires and then we get stuck. And again, life after life. And in the verse 5, 7, 11, where how the Lord is worshipped and how He was worshipping, and then all his material desires are going away. So how Prabhupada is giving a practical exam, it's not like a theory that you have to stop the desires or it'll automatically go away. It's like something you can do physically, that the material desires will go away. So, and the many points that Manjula Kanta also shared, it's like just do it and somehow balance that we can satisfy Krishna and then we get the main satisfaction and inspire others by our examples.
I like your phrase turning point, that you felt a turning point. We should have that experience every day, that this was a turning point in my, you know, because of my sadhana, because we do have to have a turning point every day. Spiritual life is dynamic. We can have endless turning points, a turning point at every second, actually. One of the underlying qualities of the spiritual world is adbhuta, which means wonderment, that things are always getting more beautiful, fresh. Krishna is ever fresh. His beauty is always increasing, and it's not just because I'm seeing it in a different light. It's actually increasing. And our sadhana can be like that also. Every day is a turning point. Every hour is a turning point. And also, when we have periods in our life when we feel restricted, when we want to do more but we can't, oftentimes this restriction becomes, well, just like when you cook in a pressure cooker, it cooks faster. Because you can cook rice. How fast can you cook rice in a pressure cooker?
12 minutes.
12 minutes as opposed to? Okay, so it's half the time. So it's mentioned that in Krishna's pastimes, some of the gopis who couldn't make it to the rasa dance because they were held back by their relatives made immense advancement in that friction they felt and not being able to go to Krishna. Ashlishava Paravatam Pinashnuma Adarshanamar Mahatam Kurutuva. And so in different periods of our life we'll have sometimes more access, sometimes less. But in the times when we feel like we have less, that if we have that desire to do more and we're thinking, when oh when will that day be mine? And that we let it build up. That's the pressure cooker, and our devotion cooks faster. And then once you get out, and once you get opportunity, then you should burst out, just like that steam coming out. It's boom. You're just ready to grab every opportunity. Some people have all day long, and then they're lackadaisical, or they start looking at other things that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. But those who are doing multiple duties, taking care of children, working, as many of you are, and so forth, and trying to do your services at the same time, it's more intense. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tadvedo bayam saha avidyayam ratum tirtva vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. This is Kunti had the same dilemma when she was talking about the Pandavas and the Vrishnis, let my tie of affection be severed from them. And Prabhupada said, this doesn't mean that we give up human emotions, but it means we distinguish and say, oh, these are devotees I'm serving, it's not my children. They're not my relatives, they're my children. So there's a division of consciousness through which, even while doing so-called ordinary duties, we can become enlightened. Even worshipping the demigods, Bharat Maharaj, because he was seeing it as a means to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, attained perfection. His heart became completely clear. Okay, we have about 30 more seconds, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So each of you get 5 seconds. Go ahead. And online. So 4 seconds each. That's it. And the mic didn't work. No, go ahead. It's on now.
Hare there. Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I had 2 points. One was what Hanumat Preshak Maharaj was quoting Srila Prabhupada, that every psychological dispositions which you see anywhere else in the world is there in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Oh.
So it's he was narrating some story of Daksha Maharaj and Sati by paraphrasing into our modern parlance. So
that's beautiful. And that's the benefit we have of having Hanumat Preshak Swami walking the earth, is he keeps bringing these things to life, to light, so that we can go more deeply within the Srimad Bhagavatam and actually take it as real life instruction. Really nice.
And Maharaj, I was just The Manjula Kanta Mataji mentioned a very nice point and the dichotomy between those who are dependent on us and then where to draw that line and the mood. So I was just reminded how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his guru told him, don't accept any disciples. And he said, I have never accepted any disciples. Mm. And then he would always say Dasosmi to anybody and everybody. So that in the heart he was in a perfect balance. So I thought that was
very nice. That was a very good point. Thank you.
Maharaj, I like your point of your friend, you know, wasn't doing any seva. That was it. Krishna is in the center.
You have to know him to appreciate
yes.
his mood. Maharaj. Yeah, thank you. That was actually 4 seconds. That was pretty good. Okay.
This will be a little larger, Maharaj. you know, I was just contemplating, this is very relevant that Bharat Maharaj, almost very clear, going back to Godhead, he took devotional service as a small mishandling and then cost him 2 births. And with Thakur Bhakti Vinod disappearance coming up, and when we read prayers like Omar Jivan and other details, like again the same kind of do not do this, do not beat the mind which chooses, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says. And so it's a moment of the purports are very beautiful. Somehow or the other we are there in this system Srila Prabhupada created, and small deviations just puts a detour to the final GPS destination. So, unnecessarily. And Srila Prabhupada again encourages that, a life of a monkey or a cow in Vrindavan, but why to wait for that? So, was very encouraging and direct.
Yeah, and after that happened, he became so serious. Even as a deer, he went back to that Pulashta ashram and just wanted to be around. One of the great lessons of this story is that we need to have association. And that is, Bharat Maharaj was alone and he picked up this deer and started nurturing it. If he had been with other sadhus at the time, they was like, hey Bharat, what are you doing with the deer, you know? And he would have broken that cycle. It is one of the lessons here. And so we also have to always stay in the association of devotees. Don't trust our mind. Don't think that by myself I can face the inexorable, powerful forces of material nature. But think I have to be around other devotees. One can also notice that one does better service, more attentive service when one's in the association of devotees, and take that lesson. And the Bharat took it. After that, he came and he just spent his time, even as a deer, around sadhus, and remained connected to them. Would take two more? Yes. Mataji, all the way in the back, and then back to Victoria.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was just listening to your lecture while coming from home, and it was a very nice lecture. The incident which you have shared about the flowers is very good. I mean, about that Prabhuji. and if you offer flowers to the Krishna, the beautiness is priceless.
Yes.
You can't even think of it. It's like very glorifying face and everything. I just wanted to share this point. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yeah, it's such a simple but profound thing. And even after you offer the flowers to the Lord, then you get to distribute them. And the people really don't get flowers. They get them when they go for cancer surgery or something. And then it comes from the FTD. Delivery, and it has that little plastic stick and a card on top of it, and it's like, oh, that means I'm sick or something. I mean, But, you know, to distribute flowers that have been offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Imagine if you offered 20 gardenias to your deity, or even one, and then you go to work and just go up to somebody and put it on their desk. A flower that you offered with love and devotion to the Supreme Personality. You have one right there, right, Avantika? You know, what would be different about your day if you went about distributing the flowers that you received? I know a devotee who takes the garlands from the temple and then he breaks the string and he takes all the flowers, and when he goes on Sankirtan, he gives each person a flower. That's not a bad idea. Hey, who thought of that? Okay, Victoria.
Hare Krishna. Heard first time about these incredible things, like very picking up very rare things, like sandalwood pea sticks and things from the cow navel. So just thinking when you go like in different places and find something rare and thinking, would it be pleasing for Krishna to offer it?
Yes.
Just new way of looking for the things, not just for my own pleasure, for my satisfaction.
Yeah, in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada writes, that's a regulative principle. When you come to the temple, you should bring a gift for Krishna. And if you think like that, whenever you come to the temple, you bring something special to offer to Krishna, then it makes the visit to the temple very exciting. Just like when you buy a gift for somebody, you have great anticipation of meeting them, because like, I have something to give them. So it's this similar principle, this offering of nice things to Krishna just envelops our consciousness, a kind of samadhi. So we've heard and chanted a little bit this morning. We covered some of our basics, and this is a good way to conduct one's life, is take time every day to listen very deeply to chanting japa, the sacrifice of chanting japa, and then at least a chapter of Gita, at least a chapter of Bhagavatam, and then read for a while with the purports and hear that. And if you take that diet, then you become strong like bull. Go premanande hari hari bo. To everybody online, let's please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for joining us from all over the world. And to everybody here in our live studio audience, we thank you very much for coming. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpata vrishcha kripa sindhaveva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha go premanande.
Nachariyar marman. Hey! Nachariyar marman. Nachariyar marman. Nachariyar marman. Nachariyar marman. Nachariyar marman.